Drew Spivak joins us from ESPN Denver. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Excellent. It's a beautiful day here, sunny degrees. I love it. The Avs losing out on Stash. Now, him and Riley O'Reilly, man, like that gave them an awesome combination of good offense mixed in with pretty decent defensive players. How much of a loss in your mind is Stashing to this team moving forward?
Well, I think it is a tough loss. You know, you got a guy in Paul Stastny who was, you know, beloved by a lot of the fans here in Colorado. The guys in the locker room all liked him. He was a big locker room presence, a big leader, both on and off the ice. And, you know, obviously when you look at his on-ice skills, he had a really good season this year playing in the middle with Landeskog and MacKinnon for the most part this season. You know, he's a guy that's really good defensively, back in his own zone, wins a lot of faceoffs. And, you know, he's a tough loss overall, but I think when you look at it and what the price tag turned out to be for him, you know, you say, well, was he really worth the $7 million a year that the St. Louis Blues ended up giving him every season? And I look at it and I say, well, probably not, especially when you look at the way this Avalanche roster is set up, you know, with Matt Duchene being kind of the lead guy as far as money being earned every season at $6 million. I don't know if the Avalanche were willing to go that high, and obviously they were, because from what we hear, they were just going to go about $6 million per season with Stastny, so obviously he was going to have to take a major pay cut in order to do that. But there's no question about it, it's a tough loss. But getting Jerome McGinley in here was a nice little secondary add to this team, and I think should really help him.
You know, Jerome McGinley obviously comes in. I was looking online, and I think it might have been you, Drew, projecting what the line combinations would be. And, you know, Jerome McGinley very likely will find himself in the first line in Colorado coming off a 30-goal season.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of nice. It gives the Avs a little bit of flexibility because, you know, a lot of people tend to forget that they're going to get Alex Tanguay back hopefully next year if he's fully recovered from the injuries that he suffered last year. But you're going to have Alex Tanguay up there playing on the right side. Now you added Jerome McGinley. You've got a couple nice little options. And if I'm looking at it from the Avalanche perspective, I would maybe try and put him with Nathan MacKinnon in the middle and Gabriel Landeskog on that right side, a line that, you know, I think could be really, really deadly for the Avalanche, and it gives them two very quality lines going forward.
What about the back end, Drew? Like, I'm sure you look at shots on goal and then, you know, the chances given up and even shots directed at the Avalanche. I know a lot of the advanced stats guys look and say, man, they were winning with smoke and mirrors. Their goaltender save percentage was off the charts. How much better do they need to make their blue line, and how can they improve it in your mind?
Well, I think they do need to get better. I like the addition of Brad Stewart, adding a guy that's bigger, physical, more of a defensive-minded defenseman back there to kind of help out and maybe teach these young guys a little bit more how to play a little bit better defense. But I don't think there's any question that they missed out on signing a couple of these bigger-name guys. And Joe Sakic mentioned today when he talked to us a little bit earlier this morning that you know, they were in on a couple of those defensemen. They did talk to Anton Strahlman. They talked to Brooks Orpik. And obviously those guys made different decisions. And I think the Avalanche really, they wanted to improve it, but I don't think they wanted to go over that internal salary cap that Joe Sakic and Patrick Watt keep talking about that they want to have for the team. So I think they did the best they could given the situation. Now, I think there's a possibility they could go after a guy like Michael Delzato. In fact, that's a guy I think they could be really interested in, and hopefully they're really interested in bringing a guy like him in, because I think he could add a lot to this team, especially at a pretty nice little discount. But, you know, if you look at it from a free agency perspective now, the Avs don't really have a lot of cap space left to play with. I mean, they got $10.3 million before they hit the salary cap, but they still have to get Ryan O'Reilly's situation figured out. He's going to make anywhere between probably about $5.8 and $6.5 million per season. You got the Tyson Berry, who's also a restricted free agent. So they got to get that figured out. So it doesn't really leave them a lot of leeway. So Joe Sakic today said that they were done in free agency. So maybe they look to make a trade, possibly trade Ryan O'Reilly and maybe bring back some defensemen from there. But it'll be interesting to see kind of how they navigate the blue line situation moving forward.
Well, Drew, I'll tell you right now, if they get Delzato, he definitely won't help them defensively. I think it's a disaster. I look at their blue line. You've got Johnson and Stewart, Hayda, Tyson Berry, who's that small offensive guy and moves the puck incredibly well. Local guy here, Nick Holden, Ryan Wilson. I see them, if they sign it, they got to sign like a veteran guy, similar, not obviously not an all-star like Jerome McGinley, but if they could get just a steady third-pairing proven defensive defenseman, I think that's what they need. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of those guys left right now.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think they made the right move as well by not overspending to get a guy like Brooks Orpik or Matt Niskanen or even an Anton Strowman. I think they made the right move doing that going forward because, you know, they've got some young talent on this team. And I know Joe Sakic really likes Nick Holden, the local guy there from Canada. And he really likes the way Nick Holden's game is. And I think Nick Holden showed a lot this year. He got off to a slow start. He struggled quite a bit early going, but he really turned it on and scored some key goals for this team. And in the playoffs, I thought actually he was their best defenseman in that seven-game series against Minnesota. So, yeah, I mean, I think they do need to improve the blue line, but I just it's going to be tough, like you said, because there's not a lot of veteran options available, you know, be it free agency or whatnot.
You look at, you know, net minding, and Patrick Waugh, I think, knows a thing or two about it. You know, Semyon Varlamov, of course, they've got. And then Rito Barra, who they traded. A lot of people were kind of curious of that when they gave up a second rounder. He's clearly their backup. You know, Varlamov faced a ton of shots and played a lot of minutes. Do you see that? Was Barra brought in to play a little bit more than J.S. Jaguar did last year? Or do you think Semyon Varlamov's a guy who Patrick Waugh is going to look at and say, hey, kid, I played a ton of games. You're going to play 65 to 70 games again next year.
Yeah, I kind of think that Varlamov's going to be the guy again. He's going to play a lot of minutes this year. And I think they were kind of hoping that Barra was going to be a guy that would come in and provide some relief, especially down the stretch for Varlamov last season, maybe be a guy that they could rely on. But I think once we saw Barra get between the pipes of the Avs last season, he kind of showed that he's not really ready to play at the big-time level yet. Now he's going to be working a lot with Francois Allaire, I think, in the offseason to really improve his game a little bit. But he's going to have to do that if he wants to get more ice time or more minutes with the Avs next year. It's going to be really difficult. And especially when you consider that how many shots Varlamov faced, and if you look at the way that this Avalanche team is constructed this year, I don't really see that changing. I think that he's still going to face a ton of shots every night. The Avs are probably going to get outshot more often than not. So it's going to be a difficult task to sit there and rely on Semyon Varlamov, you know, night after night again this year, and especially when you look at how tough the Central Division got after yesterday.
Oh, the Central Division's extremely tough. Chicago, of course, they get Richards as a second-line guy. Stastny's now in St. Louis. Dallas adds Spezza and Hemsky. Like, Colorado's going to be hard-pressed to finish even top two in their division next year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think a lot of people, like you said earlier, looked at this team and thought they were doing this with a lot of smoke and mirrors, and they didn't really think that the Avalanche were as legit of a contender as they were actually showing that they were last year, even though they got knocked down that first round. But, yeah, that Central Division, I mean, I thought they were the best division overall in the NHL last season, and you talked about the moves that they made, you know, yesterday and going forward and stuff. I just think this division is an absolute beast, but I think adding a Ginla, adding a more veteran presence, even adding a Danny Briere, I think adding guys that know how to win, guys that have been there and have been through these playoff battles before, I think that's really going to help these young guys step up and develop their game very nicely.
Where are they at with their O'Reilly negotiations? And why is it so, you know, this is the second time now with Ryan O'Reilly. Why are the negotiations so harsh between the two?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I think, I don't want to say miscommunication, but neither side can seem to agree on where the starting point for negotiations are, because O'Reilly was making $6.5 million last year, but his cap hit was only $5 million. So the Avalanche look at it from a perspective and say, well, we want to look at it as $5 million as kind of our starting point and then maybe negotiate from there. But O'Reilly's camp is saying, well, wait a minute. Hey, he's making $6.5 this year. Why do we want to go down and drop $1.5 million down? So it's made things really contentious between the two sides, and it just kind of goes back to how tough Calgary made it on Colorado a couple of years ago when they signed him to that offer sheet, and they got him that $6.5 million this year that quite frankly, he was way overpaid, in my opinion. But I think they'll get it worked out eventually. Whether or not they end up signing him to a long-term deal, that remains to be seen. But I think there's always a chance that they could end up moving him, because Ryan O'Reilly, I think, is a guy that could be a nice fit for a lot of teams around the league, and teams will be willing to part with some nice little pieces to get O'Reilly on their line or in their lineup.
Oh, man, Ryan O'Reilly, you know, very good. He's the epitome of what you'd want as a second-line center on your team.
Yeah, no question. He's one of my favorite guys to watch on this team. The guy does everything on the ice, and, you know, he doesn't take penalties, but he plays physical when he needs to. He plays good defensively. He's just one of those guys that you want to have on your team. So I know a lot of Avalanche fans, and myself included, I want to see them get things worked out with him, because they've got a nice young nucleus on this team. And the Avs are saying all the right things, that they want to keep Ryan O'Reilly here. They want to bring him back. They want to keep him here long term. And so hopefully they get things worked out. It's just it's really hard when, like you said, they've been going through this contract squabble now two times now in the last couple of years, and it just makes things contentious. But I hope now that Paul Stastny's gone, they have that whole situation figured out, they can focus on O'Reilly and do what they need to do to get him locked up long term.
Well, Drew, we appreciate it. Jerome Iginla comes in. Likely they're looking for leadership from him on and off the ice, and he'll likely bring that. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.